This episode of Hashtag History was recorded in November of 2023. Some personal updates and cultural references may be out of date, but the history hasn't changed. Enjoy.
This is Hashtag History episode 134. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Leah.
Late night talk show host.
Yes.
This week, we are staying local by covering something that is only a 2.5 hour drive from here. And despite the fact that I have lived in the greater Sacramento area my whole life, only 2.5 hours from this location, I only just went there for the first time earlier this year. Yeah. And I know that you did too.
Yeah. Not the first time, the second time.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know you had been before.
I went for my, very, very, very fun, high profile senior trip to Santa Cruz.
So you had done it before. Did you remember it?
We just went to the boardwalk.
Okay.
So that's the only bit of Santa Cruz I had ever been to was the boardwalk.
You hadn't done the mystery spot.
Got it. Clarifying.
Well, yeah. I was going to speaking of the Santa Cruz boardwalk, that is the worst chafing I've ever had in my whole life.
Chafing.
You're like, that's called chafing. Chafing I've ever had in my whole life. Was at the Santa Cruz
Disneyland
boardwalk.
I have a story about chafing in Disneyland. My friend Jill can attest to this, who's one of our listeners. I chafed really bad. I was wearing shorts. And at the end of the day, me and my friend Alina were both chafing. And Jill was there. And we had very different techniques as to how we combated the chafe.
I'm interested.
So she kept her legs very tight together so they couldn't rub. And so she was walking with her thighs just as tight.
Like a penguin.
Like a penguin.
Brought it.
Yeah. And then I was the exact opposite, where I was walking like a sumo wrestler with my thighs as wide apart as humanly possible.
Let the air through.
Yeah. I'm sure we looked very comical.
I would love to know the end results and who had the least damage.
There was blood.
Okay, my Santa Cruz story does not match that at all.
It was the worst. Because, you know,
Did you go on a water ride?
Yeah, you go on the water ride. Yeah.
That's bad. I'm sorry that happened.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry to our listeners that you heard that.
Yeah, I know. We could cut that.
We
the
might.
Blood part out. Yeah, that might be a little much.
Well, this week, we will be discussing the mystery spot located in Santa Cruz, California.
Ooh.
The mystery spot is roughly 150 feet of WTF. I mean, am I wrong?
No, that's a good
accurate
way to describe it. Yeah.
It's this small location hidden in the Redwood Forest where the laws of gravity don't appear to exist. It's where you can stand on what appears to be a level table, but once you are standing on top of it, your body takes on a 45-degree angle. Or you can place a ball on what, again, appears to be a level surface, and this ball will mysteriously slide upwards and off of the surface. Or you could be standing next to a 5-year-old who is clearly shorter than you, but once you step onto what appears to, again, be a level surface, a level plank, you are suddenly the shorter of the pair. These are just a few examples of the weird phenomena that take place at the mystery spot. We'll be talking about all of that, plus our own personal experiences at the mystery spot in this week's episode.
Yeah.
Before we begin, though, I want to make right up top 2 disclaimers. Number one, this will be one of our shorter episodes, as truth is, there isn't much known about the mystery spot because, well, it's a mystery. I'll tell you the short history of the location as we know it. Leah and I will both walk you through what a tour of the mystery spot looks like, and then I'll share some of the theories behind this mysterious location. But again, this is going to be one of our shorter episodes, so if you are headed out to train for a half marathon and need a podcast to listen to along the way, perhaps pick one of our longer episodes.
Right, not this one.
Not this one.
Yeah.
If you need something to listen to while you're taking a shower or unloading the dishes, perhaps, stay tuned for this one.
Right.
Think of it in terms of your morning commute to the office. If your morning commute to the office literally entails you rolling out of bed and walking to the next room over to boot up your laptop, have we got a great episode for you today.
My gosh, yes.
My gosh.
Perfect. You know what? Best of both worlds. Hannah Montana.
The second disclaimer is this. While we will throw around the various theories for the mysteries behind the mystery spot, I do settle on the most plausible theory and discuss that at length. If you are like me, aka a nerd, and you always do some research about every location you ever travel to, perhaps he would like to have some behind the scenes details about this very cool and very mystic location. Or maybe you're not like me and you don't want to know all the secrets and all the behind the scenes before you visit this location, which is why I am giving this disclaimer now that I may or may not ruin the mystery spot for you. But first, as always, we have to talk about this mystic drink.
Ooh,
in front of us.
Oh my gosh.
Lung, 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 lung.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Leah.
And this is Hashtag History,
the podcast for both history nerds and history haters alike,
where we dive into history's greatest stories of controversy, conspiracy, and corruption.
All right. First and foremost, as always, we must give a shout out and a heartfelt thank you to this week's cocktail sponsor, Emily, from the Whining About Herstory podcast.
Aww.
She left us a message that I had to read the entire thing aloud.
Okay.
And because it's a long one.
Okay. I'm ready.
In a heavy Minnesotan accent.
Because she's from Minnesota.
Because she's from Minnesota. And I was going to try to do the accent, but I don't know if I can.
I really hope you will.
Truly can't get enough of you gals, don't you know?
This is great.
Hearing your voices is like being wrapped in warm flannel on a sub-zero winter's night. Your cocktails make me go oofta, and and like a good tater tot dish, I can't get enough.
Oh my god.
Keep up the great work and keep potting and drinking like you're running out of time. I don't know. Something weird started happening at the end there.
Yeah, that was great.
Okay.
That was brilliant.
Great. That's my Minnesotan accent.
It was brilliant.
It might have been a little bit more Wisconsin.
I appreciate any piece of it.
Okay.
When I was in London, we were at a pub in London, and the guy, the bartender, was like, you're an American. I was like, yeah. And he's like, you're from Minnesota, right? I'm like, excuse me? I'm a Valley girl. obviously. So apparently I sometimes fall into Minnesotan accents as well.
Very cool, I guess.
Well, thank you so much, Emily. That was really sweet.
Yeah. Love the message too.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. This week's cocktail topic is based just outside of lovely Santa Cruz, as you mentioned. And the second thing I think about when I think of Santa Cruz after the boardwalk mm-hmm. and after the mystery spot mm-hmm. is the banana slug.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
They disturb me. Beyond valid. Reason.
Valid.
And I have no explanation.
Because they're gross.
Yeah. And I feel like slugs shouldn't be neon yellow.
Certainly not. And they shouldn't be that thick.
They're thick.
They're
thick boys. Anyways.
Yeah. If you have not seen a banana slug.
I actually have pictures from when we went camping, because we camped just outside of Santa Cruz uh-huh. just like a month ago. And there was slugs.
I feel nauseous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ready to enjoy a drink based on slugs?
I can't wait.
Okay. Yeah, so I based this week's cocktail off the idea of banana slugs and decided to create my own original frozen tiki type drink.
I love it.
So we'll call this little guy the banana mystery slug.
I can't wait. It looks so good.
And it's not so mysterious, because here's what's in it. 1.5 ounces of rum, frozen bananas,
mm-hmm.
2 ounces of pineapple juice, and 1 ounce of coconut milk. And then if you need it to be a little thicker, you can add more ice, but we added enough bananas that you didn't need to.
They're as thick as a slug.
Truly.
The drinks are as thick as
slugs. They're thick boys too. Yeah, so blend it all in a blender and have your way with it.
Oh, gosh. Have your way with that thick boy. Cheers.
Are we going to be able to suck it through the straw? No.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
Mm. Little snotty.
Try not to think of the slugs.
I think that's where I'm going wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually better not through the straw.
Mm-hmm. Don't think slugs, think Jamba Juice.
Mm.
Also, I do not taste alcohol in this at all.
I mean, it's only a shot and a shot of rum in like that rather large drink. So
this is like breakfast. This is delicious.
Yeah.
This is a 10 for me.
Oh my God.
You?
8.5.
Why so far down? Why so low?
You know I don't love bananas.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, they're growing.
It's the
on me
one
slowly,
contention
but,
in our yeah, relationship.
I know. I feel like if it had a little bit more pineapple, maybe I would like it a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I put frozen pineapple in with it, then I'd be down.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. 10 for me. So to begin, I went to the mystery spot for the very first time on my baby moon earlier this year.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we took our baby moon when I was like 20 something weeks along. If we had taken it any later, I'm not quite sure it would have happened. Toward the end of my pregnancy, my legs blew up to the size of elephant trunks and my pelvic bone threatened to snap in half.
Yeah.
But again, fortunately, we went on our baby moon before I was all but immobile, which is good because when you first reach the mystery spot, you have to climb.
Well, yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Well, more on that later.
Okay.
In 1940, only a year after its discovery, the mystery spot was open to tourists and has become an extremely popular tourist attraction ever since. In fact, and this is not an exaggeration, I feel as though I see a mystery spot bumper sticker every single time I'm on the road.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially for, I mean, us, like she said, we only live 2.5 hours away. It's unusual to drive without seeing a mystery spot bumper sticker.
I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things, I forget what the psychological term is, where, like, when you learn a new word, then you hear the word
or
all the time.
Or when you get a car, now all of a sudden you start seeing that car everywhere. Yeah.
Because I said this to my husband, Alex, before we went to the mystery spot. Mm-hmm. I was like, I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go because I see bumper stickers of it all the time. And he's like, I've never seen one before. I was like, they are everywhere.
No, you have. He has.
I was like, you have. Yeah. And you just haven't noticed that you have. And now he like comes home from work every day. He's like, I saw 5 mystery spot bumper stickers today.
Yeah.
I feel like I see it every single time I'm on the road. In a 2021 article written by Jasmine Garnett, she writes, quote, if you've ever driven in the Bay Area with your eyes open, then you've seen it.
Yeah.
Mystery spot in bold black type over a yellow background. It's probably the most popular bumper sticker in the Bay Area alongside Keep Tahoe Blue and Coexist.
Oh my God, yes.
Unquote. And I appreciate that validation because, again, I truly feel as though I see a mystery spot bumper sticker at least once a week.
Yeah.
And that's probably stretching it.
Yeah.
Why is this? Because the mystery spot sees tens of thousands of visitors every single year, all of whom are mesmerized by the location's mysteries. Mm-hmm. The spot has become so popular that it was listed as a California historical landmark in 2014.
I actually didn't know that.
Isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah.
So let's back things up and learn a little history about the mystery spot before it became the tourist attraction that it is today.
History mystery spot.
I love that. When you reach the mystery spot, there's a plaque with information about the location written by the founder, George Prather. We will have a picture of the plaque up on our Instagram for you all to view. And then, Leah, if you don't mind, could you read what the plaque says? It's a, you know, because you've been, it's a really long one.
Yeah, great. Okay. Now that I'm all phlegmy from my banana smoothie. Okay. Originally, we wanted to get the level ground below here for a summer home or mountain cabin, but the gentleman we were buying it from would not sell the level ground unless we purchased a strip across the entire south end of his property, including this hillside. Finally, we bought the entire piece, mainly to get the level ground, and we were helping the surveyor along the north line. We noted the compass to vary a small amount on the transit and spoke to him about it at that time. He said we might get that variation along a barbed wire fence or some mineral in the ground and let it pass at that. On thinking it over later, there was no barbed wire fence near where we were at the time, as far as we knew. No excessive mineral in this ground. So we took our small hand compass and went up over the north line to try and check on it. The variation there was not great enough that we could tell anything about it with the point of the hill and through the brush. On returning, we came down the little canyon or draw above here. In doing so, we felt very lightheaded or top-heavy, felt like something trying to force us right off the hill. We sat down for a while to try and overcome that feeling. While sitting there, we happened to look at the compass again. There, the compass had varied enough that we needed nothing to compare it with to tell that it was not correct. We began to check from that, and we found the more we checked, the more we found, until we found we had this spot of ground here, about 150 feet in diameter, that. So far, we have not found any instrument absolutely correct over. A portable radio will play any place over it, but with very little variation, being the nearest correct that we have found.
Okay, so that was a little long-winded, Mr. Prather.
I can't breathe.
It's Yeah. It's long-winded. Prather was known to be a bit of an interesting fellow. He owned several businesses of his own and had a bunch of patents and stuff. This made him a bit of a local celebrity. This celebrity status was elevated when he purchased those 3 acres of land in the Redwood Forest of Santa Cruz, where he would build a shack that would defy the laws of gravity. A location such as this would draw attraction from anyone, but particularly at this time, not far out from the Great Depression, which hit in 1929, the entertainment industry was one of the few industries to actually see an uptick in business. The interest in the mystery spot began then and has continued to this day.
Yeah.
Hey, hashtag history friends. My name is Caitlin, and I'm a licensed tour guide in Washington, D.C. People who take my tours all ask the same question. Why didn't I learn about this on my 8th grade trip to D.C.? Well, that's because I highlight women's history and women's culture all across the nation's capital. And, well, women have kind of been erased from history and public spaces. So my company, A Tour of Her Own, explores all the sites where women are remembered, like Lady Bird Johnson Park and Hidden Figures Way. Last year, we were voted best tour for out-of-towners, and I know that you are probably a history nerd, so I want to invite you to explore DC with me and join our next virtual tour. And since I love this podcast so much, I'm giving you a sweet deal. Use promo code #history for 25% off all of our virtual programs in 2024. Can't wait to see you on tour.
Here's where I would like to take our listeners on a tour of the mystery spot. So, spoiler alert for anyone that has not gone, would like to know, and would like to be surprised. But for the rest of you, keep listening. So, what I'm going to do here, I've just kind of put together like some bullet points of my experiences. I would love if you popped in and shared anything that stood out to you while you did your tour as well. So to begin, like I mentioned earlier, you climb a very steep hill in order to reach the mysterious shack. 0 out of 10 do not recommend doing this if you are more than 20 weeks pregnant with twins.
Right.
Any experiences for you going up this hill?
I mean, I wasn't pregnant and I was tired.
It's a steep hill.
She's steep.
She's steep.
Yeah. Like very steep. Like losing your balance while you're going up kind of steep. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're tilted as you're going up.
Mm-hmm.
Once you reach the top of the hill, speaking of tilted, you come upon a very tilted shack. Mm-hmm. So I have a picture of the shack for our listeners to view on our Instagram. And this is just a picture I found on a blog that I will, of course, credit because there's like random strangers in the picture. but you can see how tilted the shack is in that photo.
Yeah. And it's interesting. They surround it by a fence.
Yes.
They think that that might help make it appear even more
definitely
leaning than it actually is.
Because the fence appears to be upright.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's actually built at just another angle that's not actually right.
Yes.
Yeah.
How this tour begins, the guide, they begin by putting a ball or a water bottle on like a level plank. I don't know what your guide did.
I think it was a ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our guide used a water bottle and then she... you know, reached out to the audience. Is there anyone here that wants to give me something else to like roll off of the plank? And so I offered, of course, because I'm a, you know, teacher's pet over here. I offered up a tube of chapstick for the guide to use to test out on the plank. And it did indeed roll off, even though this plank appears to be level. It's almost as if it's a slide. It's at an angle, although it doesn't appear to the eye that it's at an angle.
Yeah.
And the object just rolls right off.
Mm-hmm.
After that demonstration, you go inside the shack and there's a bunch of random things that you can do on your own here. Going in there for me made me feel drunk as hell.
Yeah.
And again, as a 20 something week pregnant person, it had been a long time since I had been drunk.
Right.
So I felt very woozy.
Right.
Did you have the same?
Yeah. It's very disorienting.
Mm-hmm.
Very disorienting because your brain is trying to reconcile
what's
going on.
Yes.
And it's all tipsy-turvy, topsy-turvy, all over the place.
Even to the point where I was like, is this safe for me to be
here? Well, I know, and there was points in time.
It's psychological almost.
Because also when we went, it was raining. And so I was like, my feet are slippery. And yeah, I was just a little nervous about that aspect of it too. Yeah.
And I was going into this whole like psychic mystic zone of like, are my babies going to come out weird because they went to the mystery spot? Yeah. Because you do feel disoriented. You feel weird. You're like, is this psychologically safe, even, not even just physically safe. So inside the shack, there's all kinds of things you can do. Things inside don't appear to make sense. There's like a level table that you can stand on, and once you get on it, your body is angled at a 45 degree angle. Did you guys get pictures?
I don't think there was lots of kids in our group, and we're like, we're gonna let the kids do that first. So I don't think we did that, but we did the like hanging from the door frame thing.
And do you want to tell our listeners like what exactly that is?
It's just okay, so there's two separate rooms in the shack, and in between there's a door frame, and you can literally just hang from it. And like, again, because everything is at such an intense angle, you're like hanging what appears to be like 45 degrees angled,
like, which is it's so weird. Like the second you think you're just gonna hang straight down because it appears to be centered, and the second you hold on to it, it's like your body moves to an angle. It's weird. There's also, there's like a, the thing that stood out to me the most, there's a pendulum that's hanging from the ceiling that, again, I mean, it's hanging straight down, right? So it appear gravity is pulling it directly downward. So you would think it's centered and level. And it's super easy to push in one direction and then nearly impossible to push in the opposite direction. It's so interesting. And I think that's all that I'm remembering that was in there.
Yeah, standing on a table. Or there's like something where you can walk up in the corner.
Like a ladder or something.
A ladder or something. Again, we did with the kids.
I didn't. And I was pregnant. I did very few of these things. Once you are outside of the shack, on the flip side of it, the guide then takes you through another demonstration in which they line people of varying heights on a level plank. I, once again,
I volunteered.
Well, it's awkward. It's like, any volunteers? And it's like, one 5 year old,
right?
And then one like 85 year old,
right?
And me.
Yeah.
So I, again, teacher's pet student that always sits in the front row of the class, volunteered to stand on this level plank that the guide was showing to us. As you're standing on this plank, the guide puts you in tallest to shortest order.
Based on your actual height, right?
Based on your actual height. And it's obvious that there's a gradual incline in height from shortest to tallest. But then the guide has you swap and line up going in the other direction. And then all of the sudden, everyone appears to be exactly the same height. And again, you're doing this on a level surface. It's really trippy. This is essentially the end of the tour. As you're leaving, you're given a free mystery spot bumper sticker. Perhaps that's why we see so many of them on the road, because they're free.
Really great advertising and marketing.
Genuinely. If I had to pay $5 for it, never.
Never.
And no one else would. Free.
Free.
So, and like, I saw the guide give you that like handful.
I'm pretty sure we got like five. And I mean,
that are still not on your car.
Well, we put our stickers on Nico's like camping trunks. Yeah.
I think so. It's on there. See, free advertising. Look at that. Got you. Then you're just kind of left at that point to your own conclusions as to how the mystery spot really, truly works. So let's talk about it. There are a number of theories to explain the mysterious happenings at the mystery spot shack. The Mystery Spot's website itself lists a number of possible theories, such as, quote, cones of metal were secretly brought here and buried in our Earth as guidance systems for their spacecraft. Some think that it is, in fact, the spacecraft itself that's buried deep within the ground. Other theories include carbon dioxide permeating from the Earth, a hole in the ozone layer, a magma vortex, the highest dielectric biocosmic radiation known anywhere in the world, and radiesthesia, unquote. All possible theories.
Totally.
And while I love a good alien theory, the overwhelming explanation for the mysteries at the mystery spot is not really that mysterious after all.
Way to burst the bubble.
I don't feel that I was the first to do it.
No, I don't think you were.
To be fair.
In fact, even the tour guides kind of like, it's implied. All tongue in cheek. They're like, wow, can you believe it? They're like almost kind of sarcastic about it.
And we're going to talk about a former tour guide's experience there later in the episode.
Oh, great. Okay.
So scientist frequent tourist and even former mystery spot guides have alleged that it is all just one great optical illusion.
Yeah.
Between the slopes and the angles of the building and the fence, like you mentioned, this leads your body to be shifted at different slopes and angles, and it can be easy for your visual perception to become warped. As scienceabc.com alleges, quote, first of all, the house or any place where you see such gravity-defying events is built on an incline.
Very steep incline. As she said, you're climbing up a really steep hill.
You're walking horizontally.
And so it's a very steep incline.
Mm-hmm. And so this should give, I mean, it gave me a small indication as we were headed up there.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
Yeah. So to continue with the quote, this may seem absurd at first, but think about it. Wouldn't standing up in a tilted house give the impression that everything else is wrong, unquote. ScienceABC.com continues to state that certain, quote, physically distorted objects, unquote, are placed throughout the shack as a way of reinforcing your perception that the house and everything around you is indeed level. This website has some really great visuals of what the mystery spot looks like via your warped perception versus what it looks like in actuality. So let's check those out. Leah and I will check them out. And then, of course, as always, we will post these to our Instagram. So there are kind of like, you would almost call them like before and after pictures of what you see and what's really actually happening. So if you can describe those for our listeners as best you can.
Yeah. So what you see is your brain fixes and writes things to make it seem as if the house is standing up straight.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you are tilted 45 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But what's really happening is the house is actually tilted.
Yeah.
It's not sitting up straight. It is at an incline. And so when you're standing up straight, your mind tries to fix it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And then the other image, what I liked about this image is there's like a water faucet and it shows you again, like what you see and what's really happening in particular to this water coming from this faucet.
Yeah. Again, it's just your brain fixes things that are off, that seem off. So when the house is actually tilted and the water is actually running exactly 90 degrees down to the earth, your brain is writing everything so that the house appears straight and then the water actually appears to be flowing at a weird angle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I loved these images. I was like, that explains everything to me about the mystery spot. A former tour guide of the mystery spot confirmed this theory. In the article written by Jasmine Garnett that I mentioned early on in this episode, she interviewed a former tour guide named Kevin Breakstone.
Kevin.
Obviously didn't sign an NDA. Or if he did, he's in violation.
Wow.
He spilled the tea and said, quote, everything is tilted in a different direction. The fences are tilted. The trees are growing on a hill, so they're tilted. The cabin you go through is at all different kinds of angles, so you're never at a level.
Yeah.
And so your idea of what is uphill and what is downhill gets thrown off over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tour guide is saying certain things to make you think certain things are level or uphill or downhill. And it's kind of all builds into this idea of the mystery spot being this mystical place, unquote.
Yeah.
Breakstone was clear to state in his interview that none of this conclusion about optical illusions was ever like actually verbally shared with him by others at the mystery spot. Rather, it was just something that he figured out on his own over time, having done these tours over and over again.
Yeah.
Regardless of the truth behind the mystery spot, even if it is as simple as an optical illusion, it is a super cool location.
Absolutely. And even like, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Is even going into it completely skeptical and like not believing of whatever.
Mm-hmm. Aliens,
alien spacecraft or whatever buried underneath the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Nico, my husband, who is like the nerdiest, most like scientific, like,
skeptic, logical,
was like, that was pretty cool. But he was like, you have to admit, they do it well.
Yes.
Like, it's done very well. And you feel, like I said, your brain is trying to write things that aren't right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why you get that weird feeling.
And it is such a weird feeling that you get. And I appreciate what you just said, too, because in one of the articles that I read that, you know, we'll cite all of our sources on our website so you can read the articles if you would like. One of those articles says exactly that like, while maybe these theories are not true and stuff, how cool is it like human creativity that they humans created this thing that makes us feel this weird mystical way.
Yeah.
Like if you even look at that, it's like, that is cool.
Yeah.
And it's still a mystery. Like I still don't understand exactly how all of it works.
Same. I mean, and that's what I kept saying to Nico was like, I'm not really, I know, like it's just angles and stuff, mm-hmm. but like, I don't get it.
Yeah. I still don't understand it. It's cool.
Yeah, and it's just cool.
Yeah. So if you are ever in the Santa Cruz area, I definitely recommend it. And I would totally do the tour again myself.
Totally.
But this time without the swollen pregnant ankles.
Right. Hopefully not pouring down rain either.
Not safe.
Yeah.
We really both did not do ourselves
bad
any
times.
We really did.
Yeah.
Did not do ourselves any favors.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners go at a safe time, let us know.
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Hashtag History.
We will share the pictures that we discussed on this episode to our Instagram, and all sources used to put together the episode can be found on our website at hashtaghistory-pod.com.
Subscribe to us on whatever podcast platform you use, share about us with your family and friends, and then give us a rate and review.
And be sure to check us out on Instagram at #history_podcast. I almost skipped that and read the next.
That would have been fine. And then I would have just followed up with the Instagram. And come join us over on Patreon, where for as little as $1 a month, you can help support our books and booze supply. You will also get access to some behind the scenes content and automatic 15% off all merchandise. And we mail you cards and stickers. Thanks.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.